gopijana balava girivare dari jaya rakta mara kunja bihari gopijana balava So we're reading in Srimad Bhagavatam, the beautiful story of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And we're in Canto 2 in Chapter 6, which is Purusha Sukta confirmed. And we're going to read a few verses, 12 and then 13 through 16. We'll repeat 12 together. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Dharmasya mama tubhyam cha.
Dharmasya mama tubhyam cha.
Kumaranam bhavasya cha. Vijnanasya cha satpasya. Parasyatma parayanam. Please chant. Dharmasya, of religious principles or of Yamaraj. Mama, mine. Tubhyam, of yours. Cha, and. Kumaranam, of the four Kumaras. Bhavasya, Lord Shiva. Cha, and also. Vijnanasya, of transcendental knowledge. Cha, also. Satpasya, of truth. Parasya, of the great personality. Atma, consciousness. Parayanam, dependent. Translation. Also, the consciousness of that great personality is the abode of religious principles. Mine, yours, and those of the four bachelor Sanaka, Sanatan, Sanat Kumar, and Sanandana. That consciousness is also the abode of truth and transcendental knowledge. So this is text 13 through 16. We can just say it together. Ready? Aham bhavan bhavaschaiva ta'ime munayo rajaha sura sura naranaga Haga Mriga Sarishtaha Gandharva Pasarasyo Yach. Are you ready? No, up. You missed. There you go. Gandharva Pasarasyo Yachya Raksha Bhuta Gamuraga Pasarasyo Pitarasyo Vidyadarascha Nagamam Anyechava Vibhajiva Jalasala Nadamokasaha Vyaharsha Kitavastaras Tadikat Stanavitanavaha Sarvam Purusha Ehedam Utanhavam Vibhajchaya Tanehanam Vitanvishnam Translation. Beginning from me, Brahma, down to you and Baba, Shiva, all the great sages who were born before you, the demigods, the demons, the nagas, the human beings, the birds, the beasts, as well as the reptiles, etc., and all phenomenal manifestations of the universe, such as namely the planets, stars, asteroids, luminaries, lightning, thunder, and the inhabitants of the different planetary systems, namely the Gandharvas, Apsaras, Yakshas, Rakshasas, Bhutaganas, Uragas, Pashus, Pitas, Sitas, Bijadaras, Chanas, and all other different varieties of living entities, including the birds, beasts, trees, and everything that be, are all covered by the universal form of the Lord at all times, namely past, present, and future, although he is transcendental to all of them, eternally existing in a form not exceeding 9 inches. Purport. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, by his partial representation, measuring not more than 9 inches as Supersoul, expands by his potential energy in the shape of the universal form, which includes everything, manifested in different varieties of organic and inorganic materials. The manifested varieties of the universes are therefore not different from the Lord, just as the golden ornaments of different shapes and forms are non-different from the original stock reserve of gold. In other words, the Lord is the Supreme Person who controls everything within the creation, and still he remains the supreme separate identity, distinct from all manifested material creation. In Bhagavad Gita 9.4.5, he is therefore said to be Yogeshwara. Everything rests on the potency of Lord Shri Krishna, and still the Lord is different from and transcendental to all such identities. In the Vedic Purusha Sukta of the Rig Mantra, this is also confirmed. This philosophical truth of simultaneous oneness and difference was propounded by Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and is known as Achinta Bhedaveda Tattva. Brahma, Narada, and all others are simultaneously one with the Lord and different from the Supreme Lord. We are all one with him, just as the gold ornaments are one in quality with the stock gold. But the individual gold ornament is never equal in quantity with the stock gold. Stock gold is never exhausted, even if there are innumerable ornaments emanating from the stock, because the stock is Purnam, complete. Even if Purnam is deducted from the Purnam, still the supreme Purnam remains the same Purnam. This fact is inconceivable to our present imperfect senses. Lord Chaitanya therefore defined his theory of philosophy as achinta, inconceivable, and is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita as well as in the Bhagavatam. Lord Chaitanya's theory of achinta veda veda tattva is a perfect philosophy of the absolute truth. So we're hearing a lot about this our Supreme Lord and how inconceivable he is, that's for sure. Here it's discussing how small he is, that he can fit in our heart. He's very, very small. Sometimes you hear that he's about the size of a thumb. Other times he can measure up to 9 inches. And he's also the great universal form that we've been hearing about recently, the mountains and the bones on his back and so many different things. And we also have been hearing about how he's within our hearts as a super soul, within the hearts of the little atoms. But he's also without everything we see and hear about, just like we're hearing about so many different personalities and different universes and different planets. And all that is him also. So he's within, without. He's small, he's great, he's inconceivable, and this is the way the devotees like it. The more inconceivable he is, the more he's dear to us, because he is that supreme absolute truth. And we're described that we're, as you might say, a chip off the old block, but that little chip is flaked off, and now we're existing in this material world trying to be as much as supreme as we can be, with failing at every attempt. But still, we are that little sample. Actually, I've been reading Nectar Devotion again. Prabhupada said to read it at least 10 times. And there's a whole chapter I was reading last night about the devotee of Krishna and how he is that little sample of the Supreme and how he should be respected. And that if he is realized, he has so much power that can be used in Krishna's service, just as we saw Srila Prabhupada. So some of us meet people on Sankirtan, or we might even feel this ourselves. They'd say, oh, I feel like an old soul. You know, you get that a lot. Oh, yeah, I feel like an old soul. I say, yeah, you're pretty old. You're eternal. You've been around for a long time. Unfortunately, we spend a lot of time here in the material world. So it's time to get back to our eternal old service of serving the Supreme Lord. And this is what's going to really make us happy and satisfied. So this philosophy of Achintya Bhairava Tattva, that we are of the Supreme Lord, just as the gold earring is part of the gold mine, but we're very atomic. But this philosophy was a big breakthrough, at least for myself and for many, many people that are on the path of looking for the absolute truth, trying to figure out this self-realization thing. Who am I? And you might get to a point where you can understand that you're not this body, that you're, okay, I must be spirit. If I'm not material, I must be spiritual. But to go past that is like a big block. And so then the speculation comes in, well, what does a spirit soul do? Where did it come from? Where is it going? How does it act? And then we get a little lost. And so then you might think, well, I can meditate and I can experience that spirit soul more. So does that mean the spirit soul has to meditate all day? And that really turned me off. I'm very active. I thought sitting around meditating all day, that's not what I think a spirit soul should be doing. But then I was lost. I didn't really know what to think beyond that. So when we hear of this philosophy that we are spirit soul, but we're part of the Supreme, it just makes everything click. But some people, they don't hear that philosophy, and so they continue thinking, well, we're all spirit soul, that we must be God. And that's like a total illusion. Just look in the mirror, and then especially when you get old, you're not God by any means. So this is a wonderful conclusion. And your search is then ended. Okay, now I'm part of that Supreme. I'm a little drop of that ocean. And so to secure that position of being that wonderful little servant, we need to adopt this process of bhakti, of devotional service. And this actually becomes our life work, figuring out how to stay in that position and not just distraught by other philosophies and other illusions, thinking that we're anything but. So that means we have to keep in touch. And this bhakti process keeps us in touch, especially the chanting of the holy name immediately gives us that little internal pleasure of the soul that we can experience, and then we can realize that, yes, this process is definitely working. And then we can learn learn the art of transferring matter to spirit, which is an amazing power that can happen, just like this whole temple room is totally spirit because it's being all directed to the Lord. See all the material things that we have in the material offer, but we don't think of the material at all. They're totally spiritual, transcendental. So this is an art that we teach here, that Prabhupada is inviting everyone to come learn to transform their lives from material, boring life to wonderful spiritual life of service. So all these other philosophies, they fall very short. I was reading Shyamasundar's book, the second volume, and during that, throughout, for actually many months, it seemed like that Prabhupada was having Shyamasundar discuss the different philosophies. And ultimately, the book on spiritual dialectalism came out. But he goes through so many different thinkers and philosophers all over, people I've never heard of. And he immediately just hears it and immediately he can exposes the shortness, what they're missing in the philosophy. Or he'll glorify some of it and say, yeah, that was pretty good. that was almost right. But then he exposes them again that, no, this is not right. So Prabhupada glorifies this absolute philosophy of oneness and difference as is perfect. And we can see that I go to this religious diversity fair. We haven't had it for 2 years, but we're having it this year at Santa Fe, which is coming up if anyone would like to take part. It's on November 7th, I believe. But we set up our wares and our philosophy. You know, we're telling all the students as they come by, and they visit the different booths. And I usually go by and visit all the different booths also. And I see what they're presenting. So shallow. You know, not even close to our philosophy. They can't even answer the questions about their philosophy because they don't have this completeness. Talking about Purnam, this is the most complete understanding of the complete. So we're very fortunate to be able to present this and be proud of how Lord Chaitanya was going all over and presenting this to his intimate disciples so that the whole world ultimately will get to hear about it. And we see that all over the world now people are becoming enlightened and realizing their real position. So Lord Chaitanya had a real benediction because he set up this process of chanting. This is like especially for the jet setters of Kali Yuga, this Sankirtan movement, you can see it being taken to every corner of the world through this, you know, our transportation, through our media, all this, you know, technology. But he arranged that the chanting, just the chanting, can go anywhere and then be injected anywhere and have potency and begin to introduce this philosophy of oneness, that we're spirit and you can feel it in the chanting. But we're also different. Each person is wonderfully different and has a different relationship with the Supreme Lord. I was at the chanting at the football game the other day. It was really packed. It was, a big game, hundreds and hundreds, thousands of people. And so many of them would go by and say, Hare Krishna. I was just amazed that more so than ever, they would say, oh, Hare Krishna, and they would chant the mantra as they're going by. One old man came and said the whole complete mantra, like perfectly, you know, he must have eaten a lot of Krishna lunch or something. But it's becoming more and more popular all the time that this mantra is being affecting everyone, just like we heard that even a long time, that must have been 30 years ago, because I was in Miami, wow, in the end of the 70s, and that when Sukadeva was going out, that person remembered the Hare Krishnas, even though he had a nasty job. But so this is so potent, this process is very much purifying. So we should make sure that people come in contact with it. Because otherwise, people have a tendency for impersonalism. It's ingrained within our hearts. We have a tendency to not really understand that God really is a person, that he's got character, he's got form, and that we're made in his image. So it's not that far off. And we couldn't be a person unless he was. So who is this personality? But some people will deny it. And so therefore the universal form is a nice thing. People can see God in that way. They can, just like yesterday there was a lot of thunder. So someone could think of, oh yeah, the ankle bells of Krishna during the Rasa dance are that thunder. Or the other morning there was a beautiful rainbow. I'm sure a lot of people saw it. And so you think that's the garland of Krishna. So this might get them introduced to that Krishna actually has a form, a very big form. But then as you become more and more devoted, we see that we have these wonderful forms of the Supreme Person right here before us. But a lot of people don't want to deal with persons. People are hard to deal with, actually, in case you haven't noticed. Because everyone is different, and they're not all the same. They're not all thinking the same way. and they're not all acting the same way as our good, wonderful self. So there's going to be some conflict. And so some people just say, God's a person too? Oh my goodness. And now I have to deal with another person, more complications, and more, and we have to deal with friends, we have to deal with relatives, headache after headache, heartache after heartache when you lose them. So some people want to escape having a relationship with God. And this is unfortunate. But to actually think that God is a person, that is very scary for many people, that he has a personality and I have to learn how to deal with him too. It's easier that God is just love. Like many times on the outside of churches, it says God is love, God is love. So some people can just live with that. I can live with that. But actually, it's much more than that. So some people also, they think, I'll just be a light. I'll just be, God must be light. And I got to that point one time where I thought, I'm just going to be part of that dazzling effulgence, that Brahma Jyoti, and just be there, and I don't have to worry about anybody else. I can just dazzle or whatever. For how long, I don't know. That was scary. How long do you have to be that light? You're going to get pretty bored out there just being a light. And then what happens when you sizzle out, So this is not a good option. The best option is to realize that that God is a person and that he's made variety for our enjoyment. This is a wonderful thing, that we aren't all the same, and that he has many, many different forms and everything. But also in the spiritual world, there's going to be mood changes, and there's a lot of personalities there. Krishna's got a lot of relatives, and he's got a lot of family, he's got a lot of friends, and they have their mood swings. Krishna, sometimes he's very funny, and sometimes he's very strict, and sometimes he's a thief, and he has a lot of different personalities that you have to deal with and characteristics. And then we heard yesterday, Sri Ram, he's always picking fights with Krishna, and Subal, he's always stealing his lunch bag, and then you got Jatila, making it hard for the gopis to meet with Krishna, and then you've got lots of troubles with different people there. You got Mother Yasoda, who's a worrywart, right? You're trying to go out to play, and she's saying, don't forget this, don't forget that, no, come back, no, and you can't get out there to play, and then Nanda Maharaj is saying, come back, it's time to eat, no, I want to play. Oh, Dad, come on, give me a break, will you? So there's many, many personalities there, but they're all centered on Krishna, and everyone is like-minded because they're just trying to please Krishna and have a loving relationship with him. But also, in the spiritual world, everything is conscious. So then you have to deal with a conscious earth and conscious trees, so they're all personalities too. So that's a lot to deal with. But they're all loving and they're all trying to please Krishna. So this is the variety that actually are the ingredients for a loving relationship with the Lord. And so this is the difference between the material world and the spiritual world. Material world can just be a drag having to deal with all this. But in the spiritual world, that is your pleasure, is your different relationships and affections that you can have to Krishna. And not all people are the same, which is good. Krishna made us all kind of unique, and he broke the mold after each one of us. So there's no more Pushkars, there's no more Prangovindas, there's no more whoever is in this room, not anymore, there's only one. So we should recognize that And this material world is a good place to learn how to start dealing with the different personalities. It's good practice, since there's three times as many people in this spiritual world as there is in all the universes of the material world. So we should get a lot of practice. And this makes our life actually very blissful, having to serve with many, many devotees in many, many different ways. The Nectar Devotion, if you look at it, it explores all these different relationships or rasas that you can have with Krishna. There's such a variety. There's the direct, and there's the indirect, and then there's even the perverted ones. So many different mixes of rasas. The Goswamis, they were blessed by Lord Chaitanya to actually understand all this, all these different levels of rasa. And they dove very deep into there. Of course, they were the master of their senses. They were Goswamis. They had that qualification to receive that benediction, to understand these different subjects of rasa and the variety of relationships. But we also can get some blessings if we get purified, if we get qualified enough. If we can just get over our false egos of still thinking that I'm Mr. Handsome or I'm Miss Popularity on the block or whatever, or the best Madanga player or whatever. If we can get over this, then we can maybe someday get the benediction to understand this real deep ocean of love that one can have for Krishna. The Brahma Samhita is a pretty amazing book. The one that I have is translated and purported. It's by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And it's a wonderful description. The Brahma Samhita, the description of all the forms and the pastimes and the different expansions and the paraphernalia of Krishna. I brought a copy with me here somewhere. And here it is. And in there, it has a wonderful section where Bhaktisiddhanta goes into describing the different arts and crafts that are there in the spiritual world. And I just love hearing about them because they're just very enticing to make you want to do, become qualified so you can go take part. I mean, I personally would love to sign up for all these classes. I mean, they're really exciting. I'm going to read some of them if you don't mind. There's 64 of them, but I'm going to read quite a few because it's just so unique and wonderful, and it makes you really want to go to the spiritual world just to see this going on. Okay, here's some. I'm going to do some of the unusual ones. Of course, the singing and the painting of the face, and musical instruments, and then how to learn to cover the beds with flowers, and how to make different preparations for cleansing the teeth and the cloth and painting body, the art of making the groundwork of jewels, the art of covering the bed, the art of playing on music in water, the art of splashing with water, that's not a problem, the art of practically applying admixture of colors, the art of designing preparation of wreaths, the art of practically setting the coronet on the head, the art of practically dressing in the tiring room, the art of decorating the tragus of the ear, the art of practical application of aromatics, the art of applying or setting ornaments, the art of jugglery, a kind of art. Anybody know what that is? Art of sleight of hand, the art of preparing varieties of salad, bread, cake, and delicious food, the art of practically preparing palatable drinks and tinging drops with red color, the art of needleworks and weaving, the art of playing with thread, the art of playing on a lute and a small X-shaped drum, the art of making and solving riddles, the art of reciting verse for verse as a trial for memory or skill. Some the other day was that the whole Pushkar's whole class was a perfect example of reciting verse after verse after verse. The art of practicing language difficult to be answered by others. The art of reciting books. The art of enacting short plays and anecdotes. Art of solving enigmatic verses. The art of designing preparation of shield, cane, and arrows, the art of spinning, by spinet, the art of carpentry, the art of engineering, the art of testing silver and jewels, the art of metallurgy, the art of tinging jewels, the art of mineralogy, the art of practicing medicine or medical treatment by herbs. And this one, I don't think I'd sign up for this one. The art of knowing the mode of fighting of lambs, cocks, and birds. That can be nasty. The art of maintaining of or knowing the conversation between male and female cockatoos. The art of healing or cleansing a person with perfumes. The art of combing hair. The art of talking with letters and fingers. The art of fabricating barbarous or foreign sophistry. The art of knowing provincial dialects. The art of knowing prediction by heavenly voice or knowing preparation of toy carts by flowers. The art of mechanics, the art of the use of amulets, the art of conversation, the art of composing verse mentally, the art of designing a literary work or a medical remedy, the art of practicing as a builder of shrines called after him, the art of use of lexicography and meters, the art of concealment of cloths, the art of knowing specific gambling, the art of playing with dice or magnet, the art of using children toys, the art of enforcing discipline, the art of gaining victory, and this one we do every day, the art of awakening the master with music at dawn. So Guru Puja and Mangal Artik are actually that art of waking your spiritual master with beautiful song and prayers. So these are some of the arts, the variety that definitely makes the spiritual world not a boring place, but very exciting. Of course, you have to get qualified to sign up, so that means following the orders of the spiritual master, simply. He is the one that will give us recommendations to be able to go there and take part in these nice pastimes. He gives us the sadhana, the morning program, so much so that we should be very seriously committed to the chanting and to the hearing, which goes on in those early morning hours. And once and for all, we have to get rid of that mentality that I'm ever going to be equal to God in any way whatsoever. But I'm not the whole, I'm not Purnam. One minus one, when I'm gone, I'm gone. But when Krishna is so-called gone, he's not gone, he's always there. So we will never be equal to or greater than. But we should be very happy to figure out somehow, and during the day, how to please Krishna. It'd be nice if everyone made like a little chart and wrote down how they thought they pleased Krishna today. And then try to improve every day. I'm pleasing him more and more. I was thinking about this deity worship that has been given to us by our spiritual master, it's such a nice facility, because if you have deities, you're constantly thinking about how to pamper them, how to make it nicer. If you're in your home or they're here, whatever your deities are, it's a total absorption of how much more pleasure I can figure out to give them, what other flowers I can pick, whatever more cloth I can make beautiful for him, what nice things I can prepare for him. So this is a surefire way in this bhakti process of getting rid of all those ideas of what can I get from Krishna, but what can I give to Krishna. So this is our qualification, and this is how we can make advancement and gradually realize that Krishna is a person. Because in that whirl of the lotus flowers we read about in the Brahma Samhita, there are little tridents that stick up, little trishas that stick up. And if you're not a personalist, if you have any personal conceptions in your mind thinking, well, maybe not, maybe Krishna is, but maybe he's not really that person, you get poked and you can't get in. So we have to get rid of all those impersonal conceptions. And so hearing nice purports like this, and reading about all the different forms of the Lord, we can make advancement and get rid of those other crazy philosophies that are going around and realize that it's a Chintaveda Tapa is perfect and complete. So this is a few thoughts on this, on these verses, if anyone would like to add something or correct something. If not,
thank you for that suggestion to keep a log of how we are pleasing Krishna in a day. Also for reading that list of arts, how it is that this is in the Brahma Samhita?
Mm-hmm.
How is the verse, is that the purport or?
That's in the purport by Bhaktisiddhanta.
What was the verse to that?
I can tell you what it is. It's.
Translation.
Here it says that the spiritual place or the transcendental pastimes of Krishna is portrayed in the second verse. The super excellent station of Krishna, which is known as Gokul, has thousands of petals and corolla like that of a lotus sprouted from a part of his infinitary aspect, the whirl of the leaves being the actual abode of Krishna. So it's talking about the abode of Krishna. And then he goes in to describe the different arts of what's going on there. Such information is just amazing that we have that, that if you go to the other religions, you just aren't going to get this information by any means, not even close. So we should be very thankful to Prabhupada and see how we can please him today by our service. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, that list has such variety. And then, at least here in this world, it would involve different classes of people or different varnas, however. So I'm wondering, this list is for all the...
I think the gopis were pretty much good at all of them.
Did all, wow.
I think in purport, is right before he describes that, he says that he's talking about the gopis and about how they are pretty excellent at all these.
Wow. Another thing I thought of, meditating on what it means to surrender. And someone, yesterday, he mentioned surrendering is an ongoing thing and requires trust. And I was imagining that with the issue of control, we have to let go of controlling for our sake and then agree to be an instrument and try to control for Krishna's sake.
That's the means of surrender, right? To become more dependent on him and realize that who are we? We don't really have any control over anything. So we really have to depend. That's where old age comes in handy.
Ah.
It's arranged that way, you know? That we gradually realize that I can't control my health, I can't control anything anymore, pretty much. Sometimes you can't control your mind even. And you have to completely just depend on the Lord's mercy. So that's some advantages of old age, I see. That, you know, your ego gets flattened to size real fast. So we should take advantage of our old age and leave the driving up to Krishna. You can sit in the back seat and just read Krishna book. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki jai.